He is an amazing God, isn't He? There's so many things that He does that we don't even know or realize, things that take place in our life, His prevenient grace, His mercies to us. So much more than we probably give Him credit for or realize. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me as a text to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read together verses 3 through 5. We're going to continue this morning as we've been sharing with you from the overflow of reading the material in a book called Soul Detox, striving for purity, striving to allow the Word of God to shape us and mold us, and indeed get the things out of our life that do not conform to that Word or resemble the image of Jesus Christ. And this world is full of stuff that we can get involved in or that we can possess that indeed does not necessarily move us into Christ's likeness. And if we're going to follow our church mission, and indeed if we're going to teach and model Christ's likeness, it's going to have to be a part of our lives. We're going to have to look like Him. And so as we think about these toxic things that can be a part of our life, that are kind of a part of the corrupted world as we know it, today we want to take on the idea of septic thoughts. We want to talk about how we think and indeed how that can keep us from being like Jesus. The subtitle to this is Overcoming Our False Beliefs. And so sometimes we get ideologies or ideas, the thoughts about things that indeed are untrue, and we need to measure them against the truth of God's Word. So let's begin today at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, reading through verse 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So this morning, as we consider that one of the greatest stumbling blocks to spiritual growth happens sometimes when we get stuck in thoughts that are negative or untrue or impure, rather than being in line with what God's Word says, the problem is then that what we think inwardly translates into our activity outwardly and sometimes affects our living correctly because of the way we think. And so from this text this morning, I want us to think about these three concepts. That first, we want to demolish strongholds. Second, that we want to take our thoughts captive. And third, we want to make those thoughts obedient to the Word and the will of God. And so this morning, as we consider first this idea of demolishing strongholds, I remember years ago when I first came into this community, one of the things that we were taking on then, and there was a lot of publicity about going through, about that time the video revolution was happening. Everyone was getting VCRs and putting them in their house. And of course, the Church of the Nazarene had taken a stance against the movie theater for a number of years. And now we were having to contend with this idea that people didn't have to go to the movie theater. They just brought the stuff, plugged it into their VCR, and put it on their TV. When that happened, then obviously one of the niches that came in the business world were video stores. And there would be these stores where you could go and rent any movie that you wanted. And being the businessmen that some fellows are, and knowing the human nature and corrupted human nature, what we found to be prevalent was that in almost every video store in America, there was an under-the-counter, behind-the-wall, in-the-corner type of section. And in that section, you would find X-rated material. And so people that would not have gone to a triple X movie theater wouldn't want to be seen pulling in that parking lot. Now, could pick this stuff up at the store along with other things and view it themselves and further entrench themselves in a corrupted mindset that the Lord would not appreciate. And so as a minister alliance, we begin to write the video stores in this community and ask them as a minister alliance if they indeed had X-rated stock to take it out. We found that it was one of their best money makers, and they were hesitant to do that. Matter of fact, I can remember one letter in particular that I got back because in those days I was president of the Minister Alliance, and a letter that we got back from one fellow, and he said, "Why don't you go fight something that hurts somebody?" It was virtually his letter. He said, "Why don't you fight alcoholism or something? Why don't you fight something that actually hurts somebody?" And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if this guy realizes that these people who make these films are somebody's sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and all those kinds of things. And we have plenty of proof. At that point in time, the statistic was that in every rape case that was prosecuted, they found pornography to be involved. And so 100% of the time, it was involved in hurting somebody. And so that's just one of many problem areas, but I say that to say that my mindset at that point in time, as I understood the scripture, was trying to knock down these things, some kind of a proactive stance to take down the things that were areas of sin or pockets of corruption in our society. And what I came to realize and what I came to learn as I embraced this scripture more and more, strongholds are not just stuff out there in the community. Strongholds, matter of fact, are not in the community. What's in the community is the result of strongholds. Because when you follow through on this scripture, it talks about arguments and pretensions that set themselves up against God. Things that claim, the word pretension means claims that are not supported by facts. Arguments and pretension. Strongholds exist here. The strongholds that it's talking about in this passage of Scripture are not things that are happening out in the community. It's stuff that you're thinking and believing right here, because this is where everything starts. All of your actions start here. Demolishing strongholds means to get a handle on those thoughts that are incorrect, the untruths that we believe that indeed make us the people we should not be. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it reads like this: "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Now, in the contemporary English version, which was originated in 1985. It is a translation from the original, but it was designed to be one of the easiest reads out there for any level of reader. The whole point was to try to bring English right up to the way we use words now in their current meaning. In this verse, it says, "Above all else, guard your thoughts." And we understand heart to be the center of our being. They're not talking about the organ heart here. We're talking about the center of your being, your core. And so the word thoughts is fairly accurate, because that's where everything starts. All activity begins by what you think. Guard your thoughts. And then in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, it says, "For he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, But his heart is not with you." And if you'll find the footnote, if you go back to the King James Version, this is that verse of Scripture that says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And in the footnotes of your NIV, you'll find a little tag. And when you go to that tag in Proverbs chapter 23, you'll find in the footnotes it says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." So what we think is so vitally important. And I've made mention of this several times over the years that I've been here, which are now several. But Thomas McLean, who used to pastor Glenstone Baptist Church, used to have a radio program, and he would say, "It does make a difference what you believe." And it does. Because what you believe is the launching pad for everything you do. If you believe incorrectly, you will do incorrectly. So strongholds are those things that aren't necessarily true that we believe. And let me just do this quoting from this particular author. Sadly, so many of us refuse to push through the clutter and clamor of negative thinking and false beliefs that can bombard us. And then he lists some quotes or some thoughts here that we might think. And so just ask yourself, have I ever thought any of these things? I'm no good. I'll always fail. I'll never amount to anything. My life doesn't matter. No one really cares about me. If I disappeared, no one would notice, much less care. No matter how hard I try, I'll never make a difference. It seems like I mess up everything I do. God could never love me. After all I've done, why would God care about me? I'm worthless. My life stinks and it's only going to get worse. I'll never get a break. There's no way I can change the way I am. I have to take care of myself. No one else, especially God, comes through for me. I better grab whatever I can whenever I get the chance. How many of you have ever thought any of those kinds of thoughts or something relatively close? Those are the kind of strongholds that this scripture is talking about. Thinking that is incorrect. Thinking that is improper. But things that we embrace because of life situations that we have gone through. We determine these thoughts on the basis of the way people have spoken to us. And the fact of the matter is, some of us have heard those kind of statements. Some of you have been the recipient of those kind of statements from somebody that you cared about and viewed as supposedly an authority in your life. And they told you that you were worthless, you'll never amount to anything. You know, and you begin to believe that stuff. Or you've been, you go through times in your life, and my wife and I were just talking about this the other day, about some families that we knew that were struggling with this issue, that with our kids, there comes a time in their life where all of a sudden, just about junior high, their friends become more important to them than their families. And they begin to think strictly about peer things. And so, you know, this becomes, and I don't want to single out, obviously, these four people over here in this row. But I speak to you with a heart, and I'm very passionate about this morning, that while friends are vitally important, please don't let your friends determine how you think. Take the Word of God. Listen to the values of the Word of God. Because the fact of the matter is, folks, not every young person in junior high or high school gets to live in a Christian home. And not every Christian in a Christian home acts the way they should all the time. People can let you down, even the ones you love the most. Jesus will not let you down. God will not fail you. And if you will base what you think and believe and how you act on what's in this Word, you will be okay. And you know what? It's not just those four, but it's the rest of the 80 of you out there, including me. That's how we've got to live life. We've got to quit listening to what our friends are saying. We've got to quit gathering our opinions about ourselves from what other people are saying. We've got to quit gathering opinions about others from what other people are saying. And we've got to start finding the truth of the Word itself. The strongholds that need to be demolished are these toxic thoughts that keep us from being or enjoying God's best. We cannot put that much faith in people. Get who you are from the Word of God. People will let you down. Not because they mean to. We're flawed. We're not perfect. So get your facts from the right place. Let the Word of God be your authority. We demolish those strongholds of ideas. And so we want to take those thoughts that are toxic, we want to take them captive. And there are basically about four areas that are a part of this. Okay? Toxic thoughts, things that are poison to our mind. So let me just share these with you. First, pessimism. Second, anxiety. Third, bitterness. And fourthly, criticism. Okay? So let's think for just a minute about pessimism. These are chronically negative thoughts about yourself or others or life in general. You've heard the proverbial statement about people's perspective. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? And the optimist always believes it's half full. And the pessimist always believes it's half empty. It's just how you see things. But a person who is pessimistic sees the negative side of things. We sometimes can be overwhelmed with life and always think there's too much to do. Always think we're never going to get it done. And pessimism, when you are overwhelmed by life all the time, that pessimism will kill you, particularly spiritually. Because what begins to happen is instead of trying to take things a thing at a time and stair-step the goals and complete tasks and move ahead, we think about the whole thing that it's just too much. And while we run around and talk about how bad the too much and the whole is, we don't get anything done. Pessimism can hurt us and others. Makes us unproductive and ineffective. Anxiety, I'm not going to hang here a long time because we talked about this just a couple of weeks ago as the Lord led us. But anxiety is those fearful or worried thoughts. And there's a scripture back in the King James Version that said, God did not give us a spirit of fear. And we already talked when we preached a couple weeks ago about the passage in Philippians about not being anxious about anything, not worrying, but trusting in God, finding our peace in God. Worry can cripple us. Worry can keep us from ever starting to do anything because we've considered all the things that might go wrong. The way we see life can keep us from moving forward. And we have to realize that this is not the way God intended for it to be. This is not how God wants to help us and equip us through His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit doesn't have these problems. And so if we are steeped in this kind of thought process and we're keeping the Holy Spirit from actually being free to flow in us and God from being free to act, then it's not God's fault. But it's us not allowing God to be who He really is and function as He really can in our life. We're placing limitations on God by taking our fears and our anxieties and our negative thoughts and saying, well, you know, that sounds good, but it never happened for me. I've had people in the years since I've been in this church, I've had people come through my office and sit down and say, well, all that's true for them, but God doesn't feel that way about me. I can't find any place in the Bible where God ever said, I sent Jesus to die for everyone except Archimedes. There's nobody here named Archimedes, is there? Sometimes you have to think up names nobody has. But there are people who think God cares more about other people than He cares about them. And that's not a true thought. That is not biblical. And these anxieties keep us from being the person that God wants us to be. And then there's this thing of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 reads like this. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitterness is discontented or envious thoughts. How long will it take us to realize that we are indeed blessed people, particularly in America? I mean, your weekly salary is greater than the yearly income of most people in the rest of the world. But we never have enough, do we? That's why we have garage sales so we can get rid of it and make room for the new stuff. Because we don't need this anymore, but we need something we don't have. Or you can join hoarders and just keep it all and get more. You don't believe me? Go to my office. I knew it was coming anyway, so I just thought I'd take care of it before we got there. You know, you can use that stuff in the church somewhere in years to come. Bitterness. We don't like our appearance. We don't think we were fairly distributed abilities. We're always envious of somebody else. We always want to look like somebody else. We want to have somebody else's talent. But you know what? God made you on purpose the way you are because you are unique and valuable to Him. And you have a place and a point and a purpose in this world and in this life. And He wants you to find that potential and use it to glorify Him. Every person. And some people who started out attractive, and some life circumstances. How many of you remember not very long ago, and I'm not going to get all the details of this story because it can get away from us, but how many of you remember the deal several months ago, maybe it's been a year ago now, where the model got off the airplane and walked into the propeller? Here was somebody that was reaching a point where their life's income was based in how they looked to other people and how they were sort of epitomized as somebody that other people should look like, and they walk into a propeller, and now all of that is gone. But see, what does the Bible say? The Bible says God doesn't look on the appearance, on the outside. He looks into the heart of man. Now, the last time I saw anything about that story, that woman was a woman of faith. She was a believer. And she was dealing actually pretty good with this whole situation. But you know why? Because she had hope. And she believed some truths about the Word of God that said, I'm not only just my appearance. And so she was able to continue to make contributions where other people might have just given up and said, I got nothing left. Because that's how we think and feel sometimes. And we say, I wish I was, you know, most of my life, I always wanted to be a little taller. You know? I was just never quite tall enough, you know, to be that commodity for the coach to want you on the basketball team. And there was just always things I wish I could have had, you know, certain things. Because I tell you, you can't coach height. You either got it or you don't. You know? And so there were things all my life that I would see and I wanted to be like that. Or I wish I had more of this or whatever. And if we're not careful, if we take on the wrong type of thinking, that's not a fleeting thought, that becomes an obsession. We begin to determine who we are and how we're going to go about the rest of life by how we don't match up to anybody else. And we can get bitter. And let me tell you what bitterness does. See, how many people do we have here this morning that have actually been diagnosed with and taken treatment for cancer? How many people do we have here this morning that have had that? Okay, we've got several. Several people who've been diagnosed with cancer, have taken treatment for it. Cancer gets you from the inside out, right? And that's what bitterness does. Bitterness will get you from the inside out. But God can overcome that in our life if we allow Him to. And then there's criticism. Destructive, judgmental thoughts. And most of us think we're not critical. But let me just lay this out with you here. Basically, you're a critical person if you find fault with virtually everybody and everything. And some of us think negatively just like that. It doesn't matter what it is or who it is. We got something bad to say about it. And if that's the way it is, then the truth of the matter is you are a critical individual. And that's toxic thinking. You need to stop it. It's not biblical. It's not how God wants us to view the world and the people around us. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 4, and Mike doesn't have this one. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. This really just kept coming to my head and in my heart this morning as I was praying about this message. Ephesians 4:29 says that we should only say what's helpful for building others up. How many of us have ever said anything that wasn't helpful for building somebody up? Okay, guilty as charged. We've all been there. But what God is saying to us is, if you're going to conform yourself to me, if you indeed are going to live biblically, here's how I want you to live. Stop that. stop saying anything. How many of you remember your mama saying, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all? You remember your mom saying that? Okay, she got that from God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Don't say anything. It's not going to build each other up. You know, and we do that because we compare ourselves to other people and we think if they're getting higher up or superior to us, we got to find a way to level the playing field. And that's why we try to bring them down. Instead of elevating ourselves to the level where they are. Pessimism, anxiety, bitterness, criticism. If you have any of these kinds of thoughts on a regular basis, you're losing the battle of the mind. And we need to work hard to fight to win. And so we want to demolish those kinds of thought patterns. We want to take those thoughts captive. We want to get a handle on them. We want to admit that they're there. We want to say, I got to do something about this. We want to take them captive, and we want to make them obedient. How many of you believe that you can always find what you're looking for? And the context of that statement is, you can make anything whatever you want it to be. It doesn't mean that sometimes something's missing and we always find it. What it means is, whatever your mindset is, that's how everything's going to be for you. Let me give you an example. There's birds out there, right? How many of you... Hey, now, Miss Phyllis, let me see. You're behind Bert now. I got to get over here. Where I can, okay, lean this way. Okay, Miss Phyllis is a bird watcher. She knows a lot about birds. And I just know that birds have wings and fly in the air and they have pointy feet and beaks. But Phyllis can tell you if it's a gross beak or a nice beak. Or if it's a pigeon or a dove. Or if it, you know, she knows those things. And so I'm going to let her be kind of substantiate what I'm saying here this morning. But I want to compare two kinds of birds. Okay? One is a hummingbird and one is a vulture. Okay? And I want you to know that they're both birds. They both have wings and fly, so they could be considered the same family, okay? But Phyllis, what do hummingbirds look for to feed on? Sweet stuff. The nectar of life. What do vultures look for to eat? Roadkill. Spoiled, nasty meat. Rancid, rotten meat. And guess what? Do hummingbirds find what they're looking for? Do vultures find what they're looking for? Out there in the same world, huh? Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 reads like this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I know this verse, and God has brought it to my memory several times when I wasn't doing it. I don't really think about that verse a lot when I'm doing what it says. But the Holy Spirit brings it to my remembrance a lot of times when I'm starting not to do that. And he says, Pastor Gary, is that how you want your people to think? Pastor Gary, is that how I want you to think? Are you thinking correctly, or should you change the way you're thinking? Are you thinking sweet, life-giving thoughts, or are you thinking dead, disgusting, rancid thoughts? Because it's really kind of that simple. And the truth of the matter is, we can find bad stuff in things if we want, but we can also find good things in stuff if we want. And so a lot of it is how we're geared in our mind and what it is that we're looking for. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. The thoughts that we shouldn't be thinking, that's what we want to pray for God to do. Drag them off. Get them out of my head. Get them out of my mind. Lord, if I'm not thinking the way I ought to be thinking, you check me right quick. You help me to know what I ought to be thinking. How many of you have ever run into a situation like this? And this is going to sound kind of like the Romans 7 thing that Paul does at first. Have you ever been told something about somebody by someone without supporting evidence and begun to think about what action you ought to take? Generally speaking, some kind of negative action. Because somebody told you something about somebody that you felt pretty positive about, and they told you something that all of a sudden made you think negatively of them. They didn't give you any supporting evidence. You can't prove anything that they said. You may not even know them as well as you know the person that they're speaking about, but we just tend to migrate toward bad stuff. And we tend to embrace it, and we just tend to accept it as truth. Okay, so you're in that situation. Somebody said something to you about somebody, particularly that you know, and without any supporting evidence, and you began to think of what you were going to have to do in regard to that, and you have no proof. And then you find out that that indeed was misspoken and untrue. How bad do you feel then? And what happens if you've already taken action that you never should have taken? Matter of fact, it's in the midst of you making a statement or an accusation or stopping your children from associating with them or whatever, and then you find out it wasn't even true, and now you got to go eat crow, and you don't like crow, so you don't want to go eat crow, and so they have to bring crow and feed it to you. Because that's kind of how it works out a lot of times, because we don't like to admit to things sometimes. But how many of you have ever been there? There's a way to stop that. A couple of questions that are key. When somebody comes and says something to you that seems a little suspect, but you have a tendency to all of a sudden change what you think about somebody because of what's been said, the first thing you need to ask yourself is this true? And until you can prove it, don't be making stupid, rash decisions. And the second thing is, in regard to that information, what does the Bible say about this? So when I'm given something, how does the Bible tell me that I ought to think about people? Doesn't the Bible tell us we ought to believe the best about people? Until we have proof of the worst, and then we need to be gracious and forgiving and redemptive. But how many of us are more reactionary rather than making choices based on truth and the Word of God? So here's the deal. We need to demolish the strongholds. We need to take thought captives. We need to make these thoughts obedient. And that happens through the Word of God. The bottom line is everything happens through the Word of God. That's the sole authority that we have in this to monitor and to measure everything in this life by. Let me remind you of a passage of Scripture that I hadn't really thought about it in this particular way until it was shared in this particular setting, but I like the illustration in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. It's speaking about a relationship between a man and a woman. It's talking about how we ought to feel about our wife or whatever. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the Word. Now, scrap the her part, okay, and get down to the second part where it says, by the washing with water through the Word. How many of you have ever lived any place or been familiar with a place long enough to become familiar with the landscape where there's a stream? And how many of you have ever been around that place long enough to see rock formations that maybe were kind of pointed and rough because of water over the years constantly washing over them, that those same stones became rounded and smooth? If you haven't been able to observe that personally, let me just tell you, scientifically, we all know what happens. That the water constantly washing over them, you know, makes those rocks that way. Keeps them clean, keeps things. The moving water, when it's moving, now stagnant water won't do that. But if it's a babbling brook or a rushing river or whatever, then it will change the landscape. Make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. That's what needs to happen to our head. We need to subject our thought processes to the Word of God so that constantly as the Word of God is going through our mind, it's washing us
with the Word. It's cleansing out impurities. It's cleansing out toxic thoughts. It's taking those rough, jagged edges and it's smoothing things out so that things can flow appropriately in our minds. And then we get to this point, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we let God get a hold of our head as well as our heart, and we allow the Word, everything that we think is brought into relationship with the Word, and we begin to think like the Word, and we begin to think the Word, and we begin to live the Word, then indeed, our mind gets right. And when our mind gets right, our heart gets right. When our heart gets right, our actions get right. Our attitudes get right. We stop thinking things that aren't true. We quit judging things by what's going on around us and we bring them into conforming to the Word of God. And when we bring our life into conforming with the Word of God through the renewing of our minds, then we can be the people that God created us with the potential to be. We need to get rid of the toxic waste that's up here that's poisoning us, causing us to act badly, think wrongly, and allow the Word of God to wash through us, to cleanse our hearts and minds so that we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. The enemy wants to ruin our relationships with each other and ultimately with God. But we need to make a decision to resist and refuse what the enemy wants to put on us. I want you to stand with me this morning. No music playing. You know, you can have this pretty well in hand, and some situation in life can turn you and change you if you're not careful. And you find yourself having to come back to basics. But I know people that have played sports for a long time, and I tend to always go to sports analogies just because I like it and know it a little more than a lot of other things that I don't know in life. But I know when things aren't working right, you know, when you try to embellish and do things that the average guy can't do and you start believing that you're pretty good and you start trying to do all kinds of things you've seen on television and other things, pretty soon, coach is going to get a hold of you and bring you back and say, hey, can you just get back to fundamentals? Will you just do the simple stuff? And that's where we get in our life sometimes. Sometimes we get comfortable. We get relaxed. We get to feeling pretty good about our spiritual life, and indeed, that's okay that we feel good about our spiritual life. But sometimes we get to feeling so good about our life, we quit depending on God, and we kind of fall back into our own self-dependency. And next thing you know, we run into a situation where, wow, I didn't handle that too well. We just have to get back to fundamentals, simple things. The Word of God. The Word of God. That's where the cleansing is at. Let the Word of God wash through us and take out the toxins that the enemy's constantly wanting to interject into our minds that we might act badly and not truly teach and model Christ-likeness in all we do. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we're just going to pause for a brief moment this morning, but we want to give time, Father, that if some of us are guilty this morning of having allowed pessimistic or worrisome critical thinking or bitterness to enter into our hearts and minds, Lord, we just need a place to pray. And it doesn't mean that we're bad. It just means, Lord, we've realized that, you know what? I've allowed myself to kind of slip into this mindset, into this thinking. And Lord, sometimes we think things about ourselves that aren't true. And that's difficult for us to relate to you correctly when we do. Sometimes, Father, we listen to what other people say and we think bad things about other people. And then we start speaking things. Sometimes, Father, we share information that somebody shared with us because we think they're a reliable person before we ever check anything out, before we ever test anything to be true. we pass on that information to somebody else. I'm pretty sure the scripture says for us not to gossip. That's pretty much what that is. So Lord, help us to ask ourselves those questions. Is it true? And what's the Bible say about this? Is it true? What's the Bible say about this? And allow the Word of God to wash through us and to change our minds. We're pausing for a moment this morning in this prayer, that if there's any here this morning that just need a place to pray, you've developed an attitude, or you've got a, you're thinking things that aren't true, you think God doesn't care about you the way He cares about everybody else, or you think something about somebody else because somebody said something, you have no proof. And you just want to come to a place to say, Lord, help me to get my head on straight. Doesn't mean you're lost, backslidden. It just means we want to keep moving forward and onward and upward for Jesus. We want to get better. We want to improve. And so, Lord, this morning, these altars are open. And if you're here this morning, one has come already. If you're here this morning, you just need a place to pray to say, Lord, help me get my thoughts right. Maybe you're participating in thoughts that are impure. Maybe you're feeding yourself on some things. Maybe you're watching some things on TV, except it's not a VCR now. It's probably on your computer or maybe out of a DVD player. Maybe you're watching something you shouldn't watch. Maybe you allow yourself with your cable TV to view stuff, and you say, I'm adult, I can handle it. I just sort that out and pass that on. That language doesn't bother me. That nudity doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. I can just watch all this stuff, and it's perfectly okay. I think you'll find in the Scripture it's not okay. I can make judgments about other people, and it's okay because I'm qualified. Maybe we just need to get a mindset that comes back to the Scriptures and says, what's the Bible say about this? So if you're here this morning and you need a place to pray, I just invite you to come. It's not a negative thing, it's a positive thing. We're moving forward. We're going up another rung on the ladder. We're going to be a better person. We weren't bad, but we're going to be better rather than bitter. The circumstances of life are tough. Somehow you think it's never falls your way. It's never fair to you. You never win the bid. You never get the job. The raise never comes. And you find yourself just being kind of disillusioned with the world. And you catch yourself, no matter who it is or what it is, you read about or hear about, you think a negative thought about it. Why it's their fault, why they should have done different, how they're not what they ought to be. If we're thinking like that, we need to change. That's not biblical. Maybe we just need a place to say to God, I'm sorry, help me be better. That place is here this morning at these altars. If you want it, we'll pause for just a few seconds to see if any others will come. I'm going to ask some of our ladies to come and just give prayerful support to this one that's here this morning. Anyone else who just needs to come, even as these ladies are coming to pray with this one, maybe you just need to come too and find your place at these altars and a place to kneel. Say, Lord, help me to think the way I ought to think. Do what I ought to do. If you'd like, you can be seated this morning and wait patiently with us, and we'll have a dismissal prayer. We want to pray with this one that's here.